Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Donna Adelson.
There's something about the timing that doesn't feel right. A trial nearly a decade in the making, set to begin in just a few weeks, and suddenly it gets yanked off the calendar. Not because of a hurricane or a judge stepping down or COVID or some dramatic change in plea, but because out of nowhere, the state dumped an avalanche of new evidence on the defense's desk. Wiretaps, emails, jailhouse chatter, all of it showing up just as Donna Adelson's trial was finally supposed to begin. Yeah, it's going to take a deep breath. You know, it's okay. Got a lot going on right now. We got the Diddy trial. We got Karen Reed still in progress as we're recording this. So I don't mind this being pushed back a little bit for the sake of my sanity and yours as we try to keep up with these cases. Tell me what you think in the comments about this case and what we're about to discuss. And please press subscribe if you're on YouTube so you don't miss any of our coverage on this or the many other cases, or on the podcast platforms, wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify, wherever it may be. Press subscribe over there too so you don't miss any of this. So let's continue on. On May 1st, 2025, Leon County Circuit Judge Stephen Everett granted a formal motion to delay Donna Adelson's murder trial. One that had been scheduled to begin on June 3rd. Wasn't a soft delay. It was a full pause on the most anticipated phase of a case that's already spanned nearly 11 years since Dan Markell was gunned down in his driveway in Tallahassee. Let's be clear here. This wasn't some delay tactic for the defense. This wasn't a stall. In fact, according to attorney Daniel Rashbaum, the defense team didn't even have time to prep for trial because they'd been buried under the weight of brand new discovery materials that came in during the spring. He told the court that instead of putting together the trial strategy, they'd spent the past several weeks just listening to wiretap recordings and combing through a staggering collection of newly discovered communications, reportedly more than 80,000 emails. A sudden wave of evidence was the result of a follow-up investigation the state had quietly launched back in the fall of 2024, months after Donna Adelson had already been indicted. Prosecutors admitted in court that the investigation had led to this late-breaking batch of material, and while they were quick to say that no new charges were coming out of it, the implication was obvious. They believed this new information was relevant to strengthening their case on the charges already filed: murder, conspiracy, and solicitation in connection with the 2014 killing of Dan Markell. In the April 30th hearing, which turned out to be the final blow to the original trial date, the defense made it clear they were blindsided. Preparing for a capital case is intense enough under normal circumstances, but when you add tens of thousands of emails, fresh audio recordings, and the specter of possible jailhouse informant evidence being introduced at the 11th hour, the playing field shifts a bit. Suddenly, it's not about fine-tuning jury strategy, it's about survival. Rashbaum told the jury they simply couldn't ethically move forward without proper time to vet what was just handed to them. Judge Everett didn't fight the logic. While he didn't issue his ruling immediately during the hearing, he came back the very next day with a written order granting the continuance. In the order, briefly available to reporters before it was sealed, he made something very clear. This is it. just like Kenny Loggins.
This is it. Make no mistake where you are. This is it. The waiting is over.
Okay, no, not quite like that. No karaoke for Donna Adelson. No more delays will be granted unless there's an extraordinary reason. And while the prosecution didn't object to the continuance, Everett made a point to say that pushing the trial back would not create any unfair advantage or prejudice for the state. That's important because it frames the delay not as a favor for the defense, but as a necessary step to ensure due process is intact. As of now, there's no new trial date. The original June 3rd date is gone. The calendar wiped clean. But what's not gone is the momentum. If anything, this delay throws more light on how volatile this case is. This isn't just a courtroom drama. It's an active investigation that seems to be evolving still in real time, even a decade after the original murder. Also important to note, this isn't just about volume. It's about timing. The defense had already been working on a pretrial motion when the wave of new material landed. Their argument was that the deadline to file pretrial motions had to be extended because there was no way they could adequately address issues like informant disclosures, wiretap admissibility, or impeachment material while sifting through this digital mountain. The judge agreed there, too. He extended the deadline for filing those pretrial motions from April 30th to May 16th, 25, giving the defense a couple extra weeks to assess what's relevant, what's legally challengeable, and what could change the shape of their courtroom defense. He also ordered the prosecution to turn over any remaining jailhouse informant discovery by May 2nd, including details about what the informants may have said, whether they were incentivized, and how their information was vetted. That's crucial because if any of the new evidence includes statements made by Donna Adelson to other inmates or people posing as inmates, the court needs to know if there was any quid pro quo involved. That's where things can get slippery. And the judge seems to understand that as well. What's unusual here is the sequence of events. Prosecutors receive a tip in late 2024. They run with it. And by early 25, they're dropping massive files on the defense while a trial date is already breathing down everyone's neck. The court's decision to hit pause doesn't just reflect a scheduling issue. It reflects how significant the new material may actually be. For now, Donna Adelson's trial is off the calendar. But the story isn't frozen behind the scenes. The defense is digging. The state is holding its cards. And the public is watching closely because when a murder-for-hire case gets rebooted with fresh evidence this late in the game, you have to ask, what exactly did they find? We'll get to that next. The trial delay didn't come out of nowhere. It came from a lead, that single tip, quietly received by investigators, like I said, somewhere in the late fall of 2004, that knocked open a door no one expected to reopen. Donna Adelson had already been arrested, the charges were filed, and the trial date was locked in, and yet this lead was apparently strong enough to justify restarting the investigation behind the scenes. What exactly this tip was, no one is saying. The state has been tight-lipped, and the court filings tied to this development are almost entirely under seal. But here's what we do know. Following that fall 2024 lead, investigators initiated a fresh round of work on the case, quietly, without public notice. And the effort turned up what's now being described as an avalanche of new discovery. Prosecutor Sarah Catherine Dugan admitted as much in court. She said the state had received new information last year, had to run it out, and as a result, came into possession of evidence that had not been part of the case previously. The result, like we said, over 80,000 emails, months of wiretap recordings, and an unknown volume of communications involving jailhouse informants, all disclosed to the defense in the weeks leading up to the April hearing. So now that the trial's been pushed, the defense is buried in digital evidence. The state says no new charges, but clearly they're holding something big. So where does that leave us? It leaves us deep inside a legal chess match being played mostly behind closed doors. Since early April of 25, at least 16 filings in the Donna Adelson case have been sealed from public view. That number is staggering, more than the total number of sealed documents filed since her arrest in November of 23. What's happening now is moving fast, and it's happening out of sight. Let's start with the players and their positions. On the defense side, Donald Adelson's legal team has taken a multi-pronged approach. First, they filed a motion to disqualify the judge, Leon County Circuit Judge Stephen Everett, the same judge who ultimately ruled on the trial delay. We don't know the exact grounds for the motion because, of course, it was filed under seal. What we do know, Judge Everett denied it. He's staying on the case, no recusal there. The move alone tells us something. Disqualifying a judge is a high-stakes tactic. You don't do it unless you think the deck is stacked, or at least appears to be. That kind of filing usually signals deeper strategic tension. It might be about courtroom rulings, perceived bias, or how sensitive evidence is being handled. We just don't know because the specifics are buried under court confidentiality. Next up, a motion for change of venue. The defense wants the trial moved out of Tallahassee. Again, the details of that request sealed, but the resolution or the reasoning isn't hard to guess. Dan Markell was a well-known figure in Tallahassee. The case has been followed obsessively by local media for almost a decade. Charlie Adelson's trial and his conviction played out in front of that same local audience. And Donna, her name, has been in the headlines since day one. So if you're the defense, the argument is simple. You can't find 12 impartial jurors in this zip code. The venue motion is still pending as of right now. It's one of several legal threads hanging in limbo as the case pauses to absorb the new evidence dump. Whether or not it succeeds, it adds another delay risk to the timeline, because if the court grants it, you're talking about a logistical reset, new location, new jury pool, new pretrial media landscape. It's a big swing. Meanwhile, the judge has quietly started resetting the legal calendar. With the trial date vacated, the court granted the defense's request to extend the pretrial motion deadline to May 16th, giving both sides more time to hash out what gets admitted, what gets challenged, and how the mountain of new materials fits into the legal framework of the case. And perhaps just as importantly, the judge gave the prosecution until May 2nd to disclose any remaining materials related to informants, a hard deadline for what's already a contentious issue. So far, no new trial date has been set. The June 3rd date is officially off the books, and while the court hasn't ordered a replacement date yet, expectations are pointing towards late 25 at the earliest, depending on how long it takes to resolve the venue question and vet the new material. But what's happening now beneath the surface is arguably more important than the courtroom calendar, the sealed filings, the sealed hearings, the sudden surge in secret motion practice. They all point to a case that's still evolving, even after all these years, even after Charlie was convicted, even after Donna was arrested trying to flee to Vietnam. And when these filings are sealed, it means the stakes are high. The state could be protecting the identity of a new cooperating witness. The defense could be challenging the admissibility of sensitive surveillance material. There could be motions dealing with potential Brady violations, discovery abuses, or late-arriving witness disclosures. It could be anything. But the volume and the timing makes it clear. This is not routine. Which brings us to the question looming over all of this. What exactly are we heading towards? It's going to be a straightforward trial. Or is this going to be a straightforward trial is more of the question of Donna Adelson for the alleged orchestration of her former son-in-law's murder. Or is it going to be something more, a legal reckoning that finally pulls the curtain back on who planned what, who knew what, and how far the cover-up may have gone? Tell me what you think in the comments section. Love to hear your thoughts on this case. Big delay. Late 25. Wonder if Wendy has anything to do with this. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I have zero idea. No idea whatsoever. It's going to be interesting, though. Press subscribe. Leave your comments in the comment section. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on this case. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.